off.
And now it's recording.
And it's recording.
Okay, and now I want to pause the speaker.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to first start by introducing the team from and the bulk of our presentation is contained in the documents that we handed out. So we introduce this document through this PowerPoint presentation, but by all intents and purposes, we intend to rather take you through the documents, which I think contains quite a lot to say about what our plans are for the year ahead. In terms of the presentation, I think one of the main issues that we just like to kick off with and start with is around the issue of access and visibility, which in my last engagement with the committee, it was a big issue that came out, and also just how we are responding to key national priorities, and also what are some of our plans increase attention. But the details of each one of these will obviously be in this document we should touch on going forward. But I think it's always safe that we have provided in the second one, which is about URF, where we talk about the approach to youth development. And also the data target market that we focus on. But suffice to say that our focus is to raise young people to employment by doing two things. One being the information linking employers and jobs. This would be the graduate database, which the president, I think, spoke about linking a couple of companies that initiated the nation address. Since the companies that had responded to place young unemployed in employment opportunities. The second area is around job preparation. This is really where we work with unemployed graduates. It's a program that we started last year, and that prepare them for the bigger market. For example, making sure they've got driver's license to know how to use computers and so on. We believe that this will probably enhance their employability. The second major area is obviously one of facilitating employment, where we have entrepreneurship education programs, in school and out of school entrepreneurship education, and also corporate training. We also seek to facilitate linking young people to procurement through the business opportunity support program, and also providing support by the voucher program, the volunteer mentorship. And lastly, in terms of facilitating self-employment, it relates to providing access to finance through microloans, small and medium loans. As you know, Madam Chair, we also manage the National Initiative Program and also provide project management support to some of our visa related programs, which I'll elaborate on. Lastly, as I said, the issue of accessibility. We provide access to programs and our products and services through the youth advisory center, the internet portal, the call center, and the youth card. And within this channel, we also provide information and counseling for young people on employment, self-employment, career development, and civic participation. So in short, Madam Chair, we and honorable members, we provide support in terms of employment, self-employment, and providing them information and counseling. So those are really the three areas that we focus on. With respect to the issue of access and disability, I think one of the big issues is that when we started as a fund, our model was to provide funding to service providers, NGOs, and the like, who then be the ones who do the face of the organization on the ground. And to a large extent, you often had the comment that people would say they don't see us, but when you look carefully in those communities, you find that we do actually have programs, but they're not branded into the fund. So that's one of the big things that we have suffered from in a very, very big way. So our strategy now going forward has been to roll out the service delivery channel, which means we have communities publicly, our own place in communities, using these advisory centers, the access points and so forth, which has been by and large enabled young people to see us all the time. In addition to the 128 centers we have, this year we plan to run out 50 additional youth advisory centers, and in the document we'll touch on where some of these ones, the new ones are aimed to be looking at. This will be done not just as standalone, but also in partnership with the labor centers. Last year we piloted in 3 labor centers to see how we can roll out our programs in the labor centers. This year we're looking to take the pilot to space. And obviously, most of this has been with municipal offices. We recently had a discussion with the Department of Justice that most young people who fall foul of the law, they spend quite a few time, you know, in court and so forth. So what we intend to do is to put up information there in most of the facilities in the Department of Justice. That is obviously will not be set on a standalone basis, but they will be providing support to the youth advisory center in the community. Most of our program, honorable members, Madam Chair, they are exactly linked to key national priorities. In the State of the Nation address, the President spoke about the need to increase support or to roll out the national disability program. This year, we're looking at 50,000 young people and those who are employed, about 20,000 of those, and those who are unemployed in 20,000 and 50,000 volunteers also participate. Expanding Public Works, obviously, has taken this program to scale. We have thought of initial target of 500, but the Department of Public Works has come forward with the resources and supported to take on the first of the year under the ETIDP program to make the maintenance program of service. Again, one of the things that the President touched on was around the increased access to microfinance. So this is one of the areas that we'll major major area of focus. We recently were successful in recruiting the person who set up KRF in Kenya, which is the leading microfinance entity in Africa, and he has come on board to lead our microfinance efforts within Interval Relief Fund. So with that kind of knowledge and a globally rated individual, we believe that it will take our microfinance program to the stage. The youth cooperative program was also mentioned, as well as the business support and graduate placement program in the state of the nation as programs that require increase or to be continued to be supported. Most of our programs are part of ACTISA, and therefore you will find that we manage key programs under ACTISA. We will also increase attention to the volunteer mentorship program, as well as increasing our partnerships with the private sector. Lastly, before I turn on to the document that we have with you, is around the issue of support to people with disabilities. Madam Chair, this has been a, I would not want to call it an Achilles heel, but it's been a problem that has been, we have encountered for quite a while. So what we've done now is been to really develop a framework that will improve accessibility of our programs. For instance, making sure that our materials are accessible to people who are blind, and specific outreach to people with disabilities. For example, for the voucher program to be accessible, most people with disabilities suffer from problems of mobility. So we need to make sure that our officers can actually, through the call center, facilitate visits to people with disabilities who have got problems with mobility to access our program. And also, one of the things is that we have youth service program. We have already got one Tenyada program, which is focusing on youth mental disabilities. But to also create programs that will specifically develop capacity for young people with disabilities to be supported. Because one of the problems for inclusivity has been that you find that most of the people who are running programs are not equipped to deal with people with disabilities. And again, it's also to launch a program, programs where we will promote awareness. For example, bring a disabled person to work or a week day where we'll encourage South Africa that we've got to bring a girl child to work. We'll also encourage South Africa to take a disabled person to work day or a week, which we hope by doing that we will improve accessibility to people with disabilities. If one turns to our plans for this year, which will be mostly covered under Section 2 of your document, and this is supported by very extensive presentation in terms of various areas of what we intend to do. As you can see, we put the issue around 30,000 unemployed young people, and also to make sure that we've got young people who will provide volunteer services. And of course, one of the things around project management is related largely to the ACTISA program. For example, we are working with Tata Motors, Microsoft, and we're working with companies in India and we've just received about an offer of 20 million rand from the Chinese government to train unemployed youth in various programs. So we will provide that project management support to various ACTISA programs using our history in terms of providing support to youth programs. We are in already 100 schools. We are in 164 schools in 6 provinces, which are catching on 17,200 learners, which has benefited 704 teachers. And so what we're saying now is that we roll out additional 100 schools for another additional 10,000 learners. So this will mean close to 27,000 learners who will benefit in 9 provinces. In the school. Currently, the Western Cape, Northwest, and Northern Cape, we haven't had an entrepreneurship education program. So, as we speak, before the end of this month, we will have additional 1,800 learners and 60 teachers in the 9 provinces, in the additional 3 provinces, which will participate in this particular program. on in terms of the business development voucher program. We have thus far in the previous year supported 7,000 young people to get access to the voucher program. As you know, this provides young people with business support through service providers that are created from Togo. This year we're looking at 12,000 young people benefiting from this program. And in addition, we're looking at supporting young 650 young entrepreneurs to get 120 million worth of procurement opportunities, as well as supporting 3,000 unemployed graduates to go through the unemployment graduate database at the place in the region. One of the discussions we are having is also to leverage funding from other organizations. We are in discussion with the Public Investment Corporation to raise 200 million from the increased funding for small and medium enterprises. In the 3 years before, we had given macro loans to 8,800 macro enterprises. This year only, we're looking at providing funding to 11,261 enterprises. So what we have been able to achieve in the last two and a half years, we're saying this year we'll reach that target plus more in just funding. The enterprises that will be supported, last year we gave loans to 77 SMEs, the tune of 64 million. This year we're looking at, this coming year we're looking at providing 25, about 120 million to about 312 SMEs. And of course, the youth cooperative program will also be receiving a lot of our attention going forward. The one area where I think we always have been coming very short is around the issue of visa transit centers. Currently, we have only one visa transit center operated by Mkhumo. The rest of the visa transit centers are operated in partnership with municipalities of the Department of Labor. This year, in each province, we have a UIF operated a visa transit center. And in addition, what we will do is that we'll target areas where we see they have high concentration of young people, or young people are migrating to those areas. So we're looking at areas such as LS Grant, Queenstown, Grantstown, Matikin, Kutastor, Newcastle, Collins, Grant, Gavin, Serena, Rustrikat, Chama, Fireberg, Mutata, including what we already have in Swan, Big Town, Grantstown, Grantstown, these are centers that will be conducted
Yes, can you kind of there are no cooks, there are no happening coming on and off this thing. I want members to follow what you are. Though has copies up here, but anyway, it's all right now. Yeah, it's all right. I was just here.
Okay. So, in that respect, I was saying that I think the biggest issue really for us this year is in which us the body is our big plan. So we are really increasing the national youth service program to change, is increasing the rollout of youth advisory centers. And we say that we have seen in most communities where people can see us on the ground instead of operating only through intermediaries, that most young people, you know, find us extremely, you know, accessible and of course, we must give credit to the pressure from this house. you know, I think if I remember correctly, if there was one issue that really when we had a hearing on youth and unemployment, one of the big issues that was coming out was the issue of accessibility and visibility. Of course, one of the issues, I'm sure Madam Chair, that would like the question is that how do we plan to sustain this? We are in discussions with within the Department of Labor. There's a task force that has been set up between the board and the officials of the Department of Labor in terms of the long-term mandate of UIF going forward. So that's where, as we set out this program, the issue of long-term sustainable funding for the fund is not forgotten, because we are creating this huge capacity out there, which is also still require sustainability going forward. So, as I say, this year, four major things that we're doing really is increasing the National Youth Service Program, increasing our youth advisory centers, microfinance, increasing the rollout of our microfinance, and one of the major areas is about 2.8 billion rand of private sector funding that we need to leverage out there, starting with 200 million from the GIC, if you can qualify it. One of the big things is that we intend for every, almost every one rand that we get from government, we intend to leverage from the private sector. So if we're getting 400 million from government, we intend to raise 400 million of similar amount of funding through leveraging from the private sector. So that we're not solely expecting government to respond to the challenge that are facing young people, but we also challenge the private sector to come to the point. So, Madam Chair, when we go through section 2, page 5, going forward, it's really a bit more detailed breakdown on a program-by-program basis. Obviously, still at a high level, because it's not a detailed lesson. But it does give a detailed breakdown of the areas that we intend to focus on. For all these products and services, the major challenge for us to say is that how do we improve our products and services to young people with disabilities? So it's a key performance area for each one of our programs. Microloans, we must have people within our call center. We should take loans from young people with disabilities who want to start a business. We must go at areas where it's easier for them to access us, because many young people have got challenges with their ability. So that framework is what we'll be rolling out. I'm sure when we come to brief Parliament on what we have done for the financial year and present our annual report, we'll have more to present in terms of the actual framework, because it is currently under development. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. When you started, you spoke about the program not expanded to the fund. Now you are speaking about the issues that we always raise, accessibility and disability. I don't know now what that branding issue, how does it affect the area of not being accessible or accessible.
Chairperson, two things that I want to raise. One is on the question of accessibility and visibility of disability. If I could just make an example in the area where I was born, Tertiary Sector, that is in your study. I don't know if by now you do have a center there, but I think talks that you're going to have in town, in Sector. Now, if you look in that municipality or the district that you used to call it, you find that it is very fast and it's villages. So the majority of your youth are going to be in the villages, not by the center, that is town. And if I make an example from the village where I stay, to come to town, I need to have 20 rounds, 10 rounds to go down, and 20 rounds, 10 rounds to come back. So that's a bit of both. I do not know how you are then going to try it. Well, that could be one of the reasons why, whilst you might have a center in that area, but it's not at the right area where you are able to access. And I think that the discussions with the municipalities need to take place, and then we could begin to look at other areas that we could utilize in this country. That's the one. The second thing is on the, I'm happy to hear that we will be focusing on disability, making the program for the products accessible to disabled young people. The organizations of disabled persons would be very soft. Many of them already have some kind of programs that they are running. They might not be very sustainable. There might be a lot of problems around capacity and so on and so forth. My question would be whether you have ongoing consultations with those groups so that they are able to advise you on, for instance, how best to make your training center or your center to more accessible.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me welcome this presentation from the But first, I just want to say, Chairperson, we would love to But if I look at the report itself, I'm trying to compare this report with the recommendations made by the Public Health Commission on reporting, which recommends a suppression of results-based reporting. I maybe just need to ask you some allusion that in future maybe we need to look at how we report. Because our interest here is to measure the results of what we have been doing. So that is very, very important. In other words, what you have been doing, you need to find out what have you achieved from there. And we want the results from it. And from there on, because if you look at the report, it is question 2, it tells us what you are going to do, what you intend to do, and what capacity you have to do. But it does not tell us what have you been doing, what have you achieved. I know that you will also be providing us with your annual report, and which will maybe come. But I just want to emphasize that maybe in all reports, we need to find some kind of format that will take us through them, and because it will always make sense as to where you're coming from and where you're going. Because the question of performance and management control and monitoring, financial management and evaluation, are an ongoing process that needs to be captured in the report. However, Chairperson, I just need a further explanation on the question of volunteerism. How you are doing that? What exactly does it mean? And also just comment on the question of utilizing service providers, because I think that issue is now becoming very clear, because there have been complaints that have been raised in the past, comments and debates around the visibility of the service itself, whether you are marketing yourself properly and so on. And to me, it's like you pick up the key problem, because if you utilize a service provider under a particular name, you will not reflect as Insobo would do yourself. Maybe you need to explain to us how you're going to address it, because that has contributed to all the negative complaints that have been brought forth by the public of the government.
Now, I also want to welcome the report. I also want to stress on the issue of I want to stress on this question because last year, last year, what they are addressing. Because for me, it's an interesting question. I'm a Dutch person who is not going to be treated for the rest of the year. But they are not being reflected because they are not on the ground or the front line of service delivered to the young people. But a third party is doing that job. So it's a very good. So the second one is a question of democracy of this service provider. And Mr. Gegana will be I still have been in this movement. I've been raising this thing of this service provider as a device. That's not, you know, intrinsically related to the conditions that these young people are finding themselves in. And then they will do things that, you know, one at the end of the day benefit young people. I think that is the issue. The first one is the question of the success rate. Well, I don't get it. The success rate of maturity. Because there are reports, whether true or false, that says that the businesses that you have assisted and in some of them are collapsing. They use, you know, passing uses. What is the success rate of the mentorship of these businesses of young people? Whether there is a high success rate in terms of sustainability? And what could be the challenge if they are not accessible? And what Parliament can do to assist in that process? Fourth, the second thing is the effectiveness of the provincial offices. Effectiveness in the sense that the capacity that you give to provincial offices, they give you the desired results. For example, offices that I know, they have had a provincial coordinator, and then in an asset, they have an administrator. Is that capacity enough to service, for example, a province like the Western Cape province? You know, are there any other challenges that make you not to capacitate these offices to the fullest? Whether if you capacitate and the project, the staff that you have, these offices will have challenges in terms of finances, you know, because maybe if you employ more people, you have less finance to fund the program. What could be, you know, issues that you can see. The last one, is around the campaign that we have, because they're saying that you will be going to pet municipalities. And you know that most of the municipalities will have problems. I'm glad that the National Commission is here. In terms of strengthening the local youth units in relation to the faces of some of this fund also there. Because you find that most of the youth programs there are directed by old people who sometimes do not have interest to issues of youth. And they will not respond. So what are you doing in assistance with the Latter Youth Commission in strengthening and making sure that local youth units are established and they are given required resources and mandate to make sure that they do some of these jobs that the government is supposed to do? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your presentation. I think our concern mainly is that we appreciate your concern with the youth. But my question is, you say you've got 30,000 volunteers. Can you see them in which field are these volunteers involved in? And secondly, how close and known is Mr. Mbowe's organization to the community? Then, is the organization networking with other organizations? And has your Sombogu Youth Fund any program for youth in the sector to keep away from drugs and alcohol? Are we winning in that way or not? Thank you. Yeah, those
the differences on money you coaches on SME finance or the product the 66 million to 1.5 SME. And what are the differences of this 1.5 SME to the challenge SME? If you can just clarify the
just to perhaps point into the issue of access and visibility. To start by saying, I think one of the greatest things I've learned as the community has been to operate in conditions of uncertainty. Because you would all recall, members, that when Mosobomvu was set up, it was envisaged it would have an initial life of 5 to 7 years and so forth. So the policy discussion around what is the future and the life of Mosobomvu, it was something that, depending on who you spoke to, you got different answers. Obviously, we within as the board and management, given what as the Honorable Gondi says, that we knew that the programs were effective and that they worked, we obviously wanted the fund to continue. That was one of the primary reasons, Honorable Members, that when we started the fund, we decided to work through service providers and wholesalers so that in the event that Mosobomvu ceases to exist, we have not created a situation where we have employed a whole range of people out there who are visible and so on, and then suddenly we are no more. I think the latest policy indications that we have received in terms of including the initial once-off allocation for finance and at least the actual discussion that is now starting about us, you know, having a crisp and you know, very clear mandate with which would hopefully go long-term funding will assist us to a large extent in being able to sustain the whole aspect of being visible and accessible on the ground. So the strategy to use wholesalers was by and large informed by that particular policy uncertainty. But as I say, that I think over the last year or so, that there has been increasing indication from the ruling party, from young people themselves, from government, including from this house itself. It has, and there was one of the questions that has been asked in this particular portfolio committee to say that we need to pay attention to the issue of you know, long-term sustainability of the fund. So that, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, is giving us the comfort now to say, because remember, these 9 offices that were, one office we have, it's got about 5 to 7 people. This additional 9 offices that will be opening, they will also have average of 5 to 7, 8 people. So you multiply that by 8, you're talking to those about 40 odd families. That, you know, when you bring on board, you don't want to bring on board and then next time there isn't anything that you support. So having said that, going forward, given all these policy indications, we said, well, let's work with the municipalities. One of the advantages of the question of branding and how we intend to address it is when we work with the municipalities, because they are government structures and they themselves find value in being seen to partner and work with interim funds. Most of them are prepared. How we've been doing is that they pay for bricks in terms of accommodation and bricks and mortar. So in terms of offices, the youth advisors and that we don't operate, they pay for office space, they pay for light and water. And also, we cover the cost of 3 young people working there to the tune of about 190 to 200,000 rand per annum. And over 3 kilos, that will obviously mean we provide about 600,000 rand. In addition, the municipalities sometimes then hire two or three additional volunteers so that you have in disease advisory centers at least 3 to 5 people who work in there. So that also improves our sustainability because the municipality also puts the budget for the support of the youth advisory center on its local economic development and the integrated development plan. So that it's not only dependent on Nsobong for the program to continue going forward, so that we know the municipality will provide support going forward. What we do is that those are branded very clearly, Nsobong Youth Advisory Center. I was driving because of the traffic on the N2. I had to drive through Aklo, and I saw one of the youth advisory centers there, but it's a small sign, on the main road, Umtuwong Fine, but there's a big center, but there's a small sign at the corner. So those are some of the things that we have to address. There must be a clear sign that gives direction. Like if you are in Mokopane, when you're in town, going to a village in Bagambek, you see there, it says Bagambek Youth Advisory Center, with a youth sign. A road sign is there, When you get there, there's a huge sign outside. If you visit also the youth advisory center that we have in Pretoria, you will see that it's very clearly visible from the street sign and so on. So one of the things that we intend to do is to make sure that these centers are clearly branded, they've got huge signs outside, young people know from wherever they are, from the taxi rank, that this is the direction which you need to travel on in order for one to be able to access. The second thing is the outreach, Madam Chair, in terms of accessibility and visibility. Our people must not just sit within the advisory centers, but they must go schedule visits to schools, to the local ICT college. They must visit the churches, and we've seen that where those things are happening already, we've seen quite a lot of positive feedback from young people within those communities. So, and then the other thing that we're doing is the mobile youth advisory centers. Honorable Zondeji asked about the issue of youth in villages. Some of the municipalities, obviously what they will agree is to, as you see in our targets, they will put up, we put 200 access points. So access point, we mean it could just be a one person who is given additional responsibility to look after a information that we provide in that particular municipality. One of the things that we have said, Madam Chair, in terms of these 200 access points, has been working with members of parliament, constituency offices as well, where we would train people in the constituency office to be able to direct people if they need information. So part and parcel of the capacity building for the Youth Advisory Center program will include that. And lastly, what we intend to do, we don't know if the entrepreneurs will agree, but I know that my board feels very strongly about it, that every business that we funded, we should just put a small sign. And sometimes you see, you've got this MasterCard Visa card on the, when you enter the shop, that you could just have a small sign like, unleashing the potential of youth. So that whenever you see that sign, you will know that this is a beneficiary of also of this one. So those are some of the things that we are planning to do, in terms of further improving accessibility. However, the issue around youth in villages, I think it's one where will be resolved by partnership. I think, for instance, one of the villages where my great grandfather comes from, I found the priest of the Lutheran Church there, young, very vibey and so forth. And I think it's really, as we normally say, broadening the frontiers against poverty. It's not for us as government only to take on this challenge, but perhaps to, because in many villages you will find there is some kind of a community-based organization, or young people are doing something themselves. So I think that going forward, what we will need to do in terms of providing access is to look for such partnerships within the communities, with civil society, and if the municipality has got an office, of course, just to put up a small desk there with 80% who's got the dedicated support to do that. So it's something that I think we'll just need to engage on going forward. With respect to because it is true that the issue of transport can be quite an issue. Although we know that most of the villages, they normally shop in one major town. So most young people, once in a while, they do go to town, but I do agree that we should find ourselves where people reside. The other issue around the organizations of whether we work with, I do agree that organizations of disabled people do provide us with a resource. And in fact, the development of this framework is with the Office of People with Disabilities in the Presidency, and we're also working with people who come from those organizations. And what we will do, obviously, is to run workshops in the various provinces and districts and connect with the people from the organization so that the framework and strategy is informed by real experiences. But with this program of taking Parliament to the people, my heart was really, really moved when we were in Guma, and we realized the extent of disability in that particular community. And it's very far. When you're in the Northern Cape, it's extremely far from quite a lot of distance. So I think in such communities, we will need to make sure that we do have, I didn't do any research, but when one just looks, because young people with disabilities came on that day, because of youth and people with disabilities, and there was quite a large number of young people, we might want to form a community-based organization that represents such interest in some of those communities, so that it's not, you are being responsive to the local interest and local needs. I do agree with Honorable Anthony in terms of the recommendations. Unfortunately, what I did do was in my presentation, which was not here, but on the PowerPoint presentation, I did provide some of the issues around the third quarter results. I think we should have put them in the attached document itself. And so in future, we'll definitely make sure that we include all our submissions, not in split format, but we do have them in the document itself. Which then links to the question that Chair, you're asking about the SMEs. You said our target was 56 million, to provide 56 million rand to 105 small and medium enterprises. What we're able to achieve was to provide more money, however, to fewer SMEs. Which means that we provided 64 million rand to 77 SMEs, which means the average loan size to an SME was higher than we had envisaged. So that's really what has transpired there. Obviously, we would want to see more money to more SMEs going forward. So that's the ideal scenario. But I'm going to ask quite a number of questions, and I would presume with this previous experience in the youth movement and as a commissioner. The issue around demographics of SPOs that are quote-unquote nearly white. it's a challenge that we face. And I think you know that this country suffers acutely from the challenge of capacity. Such that even our own government has been saying retired white professionals from Transnet and so on, they must come back and do some work and so forth. So I don't think we should necessarily cut out the white service providers, but what I understand you to be saying is that we must increase the number of service providers who come from the black community, because it is also a form of black economic empowerment. What we have done, and it's one of our strategies here, is we are investing quite huge resources in capacity building and development. One of the things that we do is that the technical assistance and service providers that we work with as a fund, we provide capacity to them. So that we build their capacity to make sure there's quality and consistency of service to young people that they service there. In the past, for instance, when the voucher program 3 years ago, we received a lot of complaints, about poor service delivery, where young people felt they were treated badly, know, people coming in didn't see them, that they were young people, as if they were doing them a favor, and so on. So we had the complaints from young people. And what we did do was to introduce, for example, customer service. So each one of our service providers has to go through a training on customer service. But we have extended it to youth development and how you work with young people. So I believe that if we continue to do that, we will continue to increase the number of service providers that we have. New service providers that will come in. I was encouraged that we got an application for a business plan from Venda, from the Zembe district, of a young person who says, I want to start a business to be a new service provider. So I don't want you to provide me with services. I want you to provide me with funding to be a service provider. Therefore, one of the issues that we need to engage with is around providing funding to social entrepreneurs. And how do we measure and measure that success? Which then leads me to the next point around the success rate of our mentorship program. Where we have high default rate is on the micro loan, where we have a default rate of about 20%. On the SMEs, we have a very low default rate of about 3% and below. But what we have, which is within normal, acceptable market market rates, you know, those default rates. But what we have seen is that often people who are unable to pay, it does not necessarily mean they never pay. What it means that often they are in arrears, and we count it as default because of the South African generally accepted accounting principles that we have to make provisions. You know, for loans that remain in area for within a certain period of time. But we have seen that young people sometimes they experience death in the family, or death of a loved one, or some other reason. Or they, you know, we have found that eventually they do come to pay. So, however, we do make those provisions. But that has been the experience that we have seen. With the effectiveness of the provincial offices, I think it goes back to the issue I was saying, that we are operating in an environment of uncertain policy environment. And I think with the policy clarity will enable us to strengthen those provincial offices. So three people is never going to be enough for a province like the Western Province. And that's where now the youth advisory centers in the communities are coming. I must say, though, that with the one of the things that is not fair, maybe one should say, is that one of our biggest challenges with working with the advisory center, we found, and that has delayed our target, Madam Chair, going backward, going back, because we issued the request for proposal to municipalities just before elections, local government elections. But in some of the areas, there were completely new political parties that came in, and they put that plan on the, you know, on the back burner while they do their own research and due diligence. So that has affected us. In some instances, to find the mayor and the municipal manager, two new people, they put something on hold while they get to grips, you know, with what is happening. Sometimes we find that municipalities themselves are completely dysfunctional. You know, either be in infighting within the municipality or a lot of other issues. So, you know, sometimes that does affect our ability to roll out, because that is the truth, Madam Chair. You know, that we have to contend. But we, our program officers and program managers have developed their political ways, you know, to navigate these uncharted waters and make sure that eventually we deliver for young people. We will work with, and we do work with local youth units, and in many cases where we have youth advisory centers, it has been because there is a very strong local youth unit, because they would advocate and agitate for the youth advisory center to be set up. On the issue of volunteers, which field the volunteers are in, if I can refer honorable members to the very last presentation under section 4, it gives a very extensive presentation about the National Youth Service Program, where they will be happening, in terms of, you can see that we're working with the Department of Social Development, where young people will be trained in agriculture and community development, three states, community home-based care, and also looking, if one goes to some of the new projects going forward, under to, say on page 9, which the President talked about 19 government departments, which will, of course, these 19 government departments will be implementing various youth development programs. You'll see under housing there, we'll have young people who will participate in the youth service project to build houses. We're talking about 200 young people. Second industry, recently we have agreed with them, just there to be clarified. They will be training community-owned enterprise development workers. These are people will be under the DTI who will be placed as community development workers in but to help people who want to start businesses. So that's one of the things that we'll be doing with them there. Public works, I've already mentioned it, correctional services, defense, minerals and energy, we're looking at the municipal electrification support program, and home affairs, the problem is currently running, but we will be taking to scale, and sports and recreation, there is a program that is happening there, and also health, you know, we're talking about 2,000 community health workers, Department of Education, 1,000 in the Eastern Cape, the school nutrition project, the young youth in cooperative to provide nutrition services to the schools in the Eastern Cape. Hopefully that program will roll out. Water affairs, and of course, the Department of Agriculture and NERVO. This is here we'll be supporting red meat farmers who are working with, you know, who are for cattle, who own cattle. We'll send 40 young people to work with such community-based farmers in terms of making sure they provide, they can commercialize their, you know, their cattle or their stock. Also there with the Department of Justice, quite a number of programs. There are in total about 6 programs. We are looking with the Department of Justice, including assisting them on the issue of maintenance for those who are divorcers. you know, so that they can expedite the issue of maintenance claims, small court claims, and also small court, and also the development of prosecutors, the development of clerks who can facilitate the speedy prosecution, you know, of offenders, and also helping them with capturing their data. With Ebru Leni, again, one of the programs there, we'll be taking 136 teachers, trainee teachers from the Gauteng, from the Vet School of Education. They will be going into Ebru Leni every weekend to teach students in 17 dysfunctional schools in the Debiten, Ekwa, Takata area. They'll be teaching them math and science and so on. So that is also a program that we hope we can take to all the provinces, how we take students in higher education, ACT colleges, to then support their local development. Housing online, again, the issue around literacy. I've passed the issue of working with SACS and Microsoft. That's another project that we're doing, where they will train using community, the IT telecenters to train people to be able to use to IT. Working with Council of Texas, and also, again, the issue of supporting the care of vulnerable children. It's another big program. We've already started last year with Big Brother, Big Sister, where currently we have 1,800 people, professionals, who are supporting young people who are living in orphanages and also child-headed households. They provide them with mentoring, and at least they spend with them an hour a week. So that program is currently running. And so with the National Association of Health Care Workers, we're looking on in this additional 2,000 people on this program, as well as Lifeline, to support children from child-headed households and those who are in orphanages, where you get adults like ourselves what we're doing, where we'll be taking 100 young people to India to be trained as artisans. But when they come back, they'll be trained as trainers who can to work with the Kabane Public Works to support a rollout of more projects, including ICT training with the Confederation of Indian Industry. And also, we've already mentioned with support from the People's Republic of China to support young people to acquire the skills. So, by and large, really, our volunteer youth service program is about making sure that young people serve their community. That is and we promote patriotism. So that is the major, major objective of the volunteer and the youth service program. But as these young people do that, they are also able to acquire skills. So as these trainee teachers go into our communities, as trainee social workers provide support to young people with disabilities, they also get an opportunity to be trained. So I have been sort of a long way because the program that really is really going to scale this year. Or in the past, really, I would say that we have been, maybe piloting, but I think right now it's really about going to scale.
While you are still there, I can see this is a good, very good program for the graduates. One wonders really who and how is this monitored to these volunteers, because they are really doing a good work, and because even the staff members rely on them. But one wonders really how do they get the stipends, do they really get this? Because I know of in my constituency of young graduates who volunteered since 2004. I mean, it's really, really get the stipends so that they could move from one area to the other or back to their place.
Madam Chair, you're asking a very, very important question that I understand Cabinet has also posed with respect to the Expanded Public Works Program. Some of these programs do fall under Expanded Public Works, the social sector. Some of them fall under the Expanded Public Works Infrastructure Development and so forth, like Childhood Development, ABET, and so on. So many of these programs, we are working very closely with the EPWP program. The major issue that has been raised with the context of this volunteer and national service program is around the issue of exit opportunities, number one, and secondly, the issue around career pathing. That we must make sure that as these young people engage in this program, there is a career pathing that evolves from it. So, for example, if you are mentoring children from a child-headed household, one of the things that you get is the auxiliary social work. We know there is a huge shortage of professional social workers. So how do we then make sure that that particular young person who has volunteered on that project then gets developed to become a full social worker over a period of time? We have got one program with the Department of Social Development on assistant probation officers as well. How do we then career path those young people for implementation of the child justice bill to make sure that they become permanent and members of the workforce as probation officers, because there is a shortage of probation officers within the public service. So one of the issues is that this program, one of the main issues that we must make sure as a federal program is around being very clear about exit opportunities. If we're training young people to build houses, how then do we work with the local municipalities so there is some kind of a set aside, at least for the first year, for them to get some work, and then thereafter they can compete like everybody in the market, because we would have given them a step up, you know. So those are some of the things, in some communities we have been able to get that, some of the communities that we are working on. So that is around the issue of making sure that people do not perpetually remain on volunteer programs or programs that are there for 3 months and then they go back and the context has not changed. So the whole issue around career pathing and looking at exit opportunities is very, very important. There was a last question that was asked in terms of how closely do we know the community that we're working with, are we working with other organizations? Of course, we are networking with other organizations. But one of the things that we have invested quite extensively in is monitoring and evaluation. Obviously, we do encourage self-reporting, because what we cannot afford is to appoint 300 or 400 monitoring and evaluation officers. But then what we would then do, working, the strength of working with municipalities is that it does provide you with stakeholders that have interest in the project other than people doing their work themselves. So which would make sure that people, those people who work, you know, are kept to the promises that they have made. So that's one of the ways why we feel very strongly about working with municipalities as we roll out our services. The question of responsiveness to young people who are affected by alcohol, drugs, and so forth, really it's about opportunities. Because I think, the head of our knowledge management and research disagrees with me on this point. But let me just say, this is my view, but we don't agree on this particular point, that there's a very high correlation between permanent unemployment. So if there's a person who falls under the broad definition of unemployment, and the probability of that person engaging in undesirable behavior, whether it be crime, be alcohol, drug abuse, or youth pregnancy, very, very high correlation. And of course, I mean, we know that one of the main causes of youth unemployment, major contributor to youth unemployment, is the issue around education and skills. If you look at people who are employed, the majority of people who are employed are people with skills on some level of education, and majority of people are unemployed without skills. So therefore, part and parcel of what we are doing here through the National Youth Service Program is really to provide alternatives and opportunities for youth, so that, and of course, we are not targeting all young people. I think we still fall far short of what should be done in our communities. But obviously, that is highly directly correlated to the amount of funding we have. So in my view, is that the more and more of these opportunities that we can provide to young people, that will then make sure that young people do not find themselves in with such high probability. But let me conclude by saying that I think empirical evidence, and that is where now my the statistics we have, last year in 2006, 40% of our waiting time, more than 50% of our waiting time defendants was young people. That was a figure of about 40,000 plus. Of people who have been convicted, is about 35% or so. But if you look at the actual number of people who are in prison, you're talking about a youth population of no more than 100,000 or so. So if you, given the fact that you've got 4.5 million or 4.2 million unemployed young people, it therefore says South African young people are not bad young people. Because if, you know, if the corollary was true, if the counter was true, then more young people would be in jail. But that is not what the statistics tell us. So I think that many young people are engaging themselves in some form of activities within their communities, outside in Sobong, outside what government is doing. Thank you, madam.
Yeah, they are not bad, but I think the majority are involved in alcohol. Yeah, members, I wonder, we have tea, I'm afraid you will get cold. Can we take the second round of questions after tea? Can we just wait for 5 minutes for break? I've noted those.
Are you going to be okay? Just take the main thing.
Yeah.
You cannot write down every word, and you cannot get everything down. You've got to get the main gist of it, and the most important thing is to get what people ask and what the answer was. Okay. What was the question? What was the answer?
Okay, but this is what we need to differentiate.
Who?
Not who, but like what's important, not what.
I know. You know what? But if I can. But I think we should do is just ask the name of the gentleman that's now when they come in. Yeah, do you want to go and do that? Which one is it? Which one is going to ask? The younger, no.
There's a younger one who asked about, I think he was the one who raised the...
He walked out.
No, yes. Where is he?
Oh, there he is, yes. That's the one in the one.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. He's the one who asked.
I look like Mongo, I couldn't understand.
Okay.
I
want to ask about
the municipalities and
the ratio of alcohol and more. Yeah.
What are your questions? You asked about 5 questions.
I've got his questions. That's what I'll ask questions. Give him.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, only 5 questions.
That's the lady next to the chair who spoke at one point, or not? It was only the chair who spoke.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
So it sounded like she sounded
I was trying to make it work out.
Was her, huh? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's from ANC, I'm sure. But his name is not here.
So maybe I should ask.
For the study. You got
it. I always have this wrong.
Okay. Let me check it.
This is sorry, but it's not. This is a nice one.
The one who is doing the presentation.
Yes, Mr. Kukana.
Mr. Kukana.
That he's going to get his, name properly.
No, he didn't write it.
But you know how to write it?
Sorry?
Do you know how to write his name? How do you spell it?
No, I don't.
You don't know?
I don't know.
What language is it?
Shona, it's from Zambia.
Oh, okay. So, with you? Zambia.
Zambia, okay.
CEO of the And then it was this young guy, and it was the chair. And is that all?
No,
chair. And there was somebody else.
Yes.
And
the one who said is Madhuna.
There's Kakana, 12. 15, 12, that's his chair.
Two gentlemen. The first one was seated on this side. He was seated here.
Yeah.
The one was
Yeah. Did you ask a question?
Yes.
Which question?
These are the questions.
Okay.
You said it's the one. The one was some Martin here. This was the second person to ask.
Okay.
Madhuna, that I thought it was Madhuna.
Yeah, but you have to confirm. You told me it was Madhuna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the one I was expecting to see.
Madhuna is, and where was that person sitting? On the side?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you see him, tell me, and then I'll go and ask what he's doing.
So what did you ask?
The young guy is here.
Bongani. Bongani something. You still haven't got his name.
Yeah. Who is in Q?
Yeah.
I think he's the one I used to have in Q. He's not.
So which guy are you from?
The one you spoke to now, number three. The one who was the third person to ask.
The guy in Balaz?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have his name again.
That's a Bongani.
Bongani something.
Yeah.
Let me go sit down.
Okay, sorry, can I see your question?
When looking at the different programs, to check the success of the individual program, whether they were worth funding or not, so that we are able to evaluate whether we are going forward or we are going ahead. And by identifying the success stories, we'll be able to give you a clear picture of how to evaluate each program and then plan and deal with the challenges. I think that's the first one that I wanted to make. The second one on the question of networking with other structures. During our hearings on youth and unemployment, it was quite clear that there was a problem between, there was a concentration of terrain between the youth structures, particularly also with the youth commission and the National Youth Council. I don't know whether Mr. Sekekana can be able to say to us how did they hope to resolve it, because it was quite itself the problem that was hindering some of the project implementation on the ground, and also the question of contingent in terms of accessibility and also visibility of Mtobo. Thank you.
Yeah, I think there has been a debate on that one that the Indian government had, especially at Jesus 10, when the young people were saying, yes, we agree that government structures are in place, but are not visible, are not accessible, we don't know about them. Rather, and some were saying, okay, let's try to strengthen these structures. Others were saying, no, let's have the youth ministry so that our issues can be dealt with. So it is a thing of faith. It has been a
thank you, Chair. I also like to welcome this progress of action of young people. Was supposed to be funded by Osobo. Chair, I've got quite a number of questions. I've been trying to check in section 2 and section 4. I've been trying to check my answers, but it's like I've got a problem to get an answer. The answer to my question, my first question, Chair, is around entrepreneurship education. In page 1, bullet point 3, it says that 100 schools will be supported to deliver basic entrepreneur education. I just want to check these schools, where are they? In which provinces are they? That's my first question. My second question, Chair, is around 500 unemployed out of school youth that will be training by provinces. Which provinces are those? In the same bullet, Chair, the last question is around 200 cooperatives and 350 jobs that will be created. I just want to check whether it is possible for this committee before we rise in our last quarter, whether it will be possible for us to just do some kind of visiting to this cooperative to check them, or whether is this a wish for that the man who might work with from the cooperative. The other question, Chair, is around branding. I remember 27 years ago in 1980, I was a very young entrepreneur, very successful in that time, 27 years ago. I had a father shop, but that father shop, the two branding that were used in that father shop, it was Coca-Cola, the signboard of Coca-Cola, and Small Business Development Corporation. What is the reason for Mtobo not to brand its product? If you have given people, you said one day to us, the garage when you enter into the village, Caltech garage, it's been funded by Mtobo. I maybe I'm quoting you wrong, but if I'm quoting you wrong, please bear with me. What is the problem for branding? What is the problem? Should you get the permission from your boss? Should you get permission from Department of Labor? What is the reason for not branding? Because I can tell you now that we had Kula, we had Mpika, we had ITC. I can tell you in my province, in the Northwest province, I haven't seen any initiative of Kula. I haven't seen any initiative of Mpika. I haven't also seen any initiative by ITC. I wonder if it's a question of branding or what. And also, lastly, in Sobong, I haven't seen anything in the Northwest province of Mtobo. I wonder if it's a question of training. That is the thing that I want you to maybe tell us exactly why you are not training your program. Lastly, Chair, my question around collateral. When young people want to submit their business plan in Sobo, mostly in my province, in Northwest province, some of them that I met were deployed in Kuto. They are telling me about collateral, some kind of security. Why security is not in way by Unsobo and consider circumstances of these young people? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Maybe to add on the issue of 500 youth. You mentioned the 50,000 young people who are affected. You are looking at these 50,000 young people this year. Is it also maybe distributed to all provinces? I mean, does it involve all provinces? And also to couple the issue of co-op, to say youth co-op programs, do you also target the girls, the young women? Because, I mean, they are now involved, like, for instance, in different projects, but they would really complain about funding. Now, this youth court, do you encourage them also to be involved in court? Yeah, and that is Charlie, followed by, I think, Koji.
Yeah. So I'm sure in the next 20 years, South Africa will be a nation of health people. Next 20 years. Because everybody is speaking of entrepreneurship, of open business, youth, and of giving the youth open small business. Who will be employing whom after 20 years? Okay, let me be fast. I want to agree with him about the youth, that youth is not bad at all. It's all serious. Youth is not bad. Youth is bad, whatever you can be on. The other product of our corruption is blaming the youth is blaming the victim. That the product of this corrupt capital system. Which is a duty of this youth to fight it. If they don't fight it, they will always fight a strategy in this method. But there are a few things that I want to ask you from the comrades next to me, that one of the UIF approaches to development. The last paragraph from the top, he says that the number of youth is expected to decrease from category 1 to 2. And then, I want to find out how do you measure this decrease of youth in unemployed youth? How are they measuring? And they're decreasing it from a from the youth, from the skilled youth, unskilled youth, or what? And also it speaks of the gender, which is a problem for all of our youth. Where are these people? If I may be selfish, and the artist direct setting, where are they found in Ghana? Because I haven't been coming from Ghana, that's why I see I'm being selfish. where can I find them in Ghana? Because you talk to you, they tell about so where is it? It's only the bell to say where is it? Where are they whatever I go back, you do not consider the data that is what you have to do. The last one is second page on the product and services. I'm worried about cooperatives. What form do these cooperatives when you organize? I'm still trading and reading individuals, not reading people as a group. Money given to me, for example. Given to me to form cooperative. And then I employ people, 10 people, to do some work, and I call it cooperative. And I decide how much to give them. And tell them that you are a cooperative now. You will start doing the deposit. Then this will be done to start everything. But who controls them? That's individual. I want to know what form is are they taking this company? Because people have become rich. Not from you, I don't mean from doctors that they are involved in the business. From different departments of the government, the local government. I also think the same thing for Iranian people. I feel somebody is like, but not the cooperative you have here. Have you started the next 3 years with the nation of shopping? Everybody will be calling the small color shop, the smaller restaurant.
Thank you, Dr. I agree with you with the issue of only shopkeepers, but I wonder why we are still getting the foreigners who are buying very shopkeepers. No, I want to really take on the issue of the whiteness of the family. I think it's a good one. In 2003, we had a workshop 2 years after. We raised the stake in 2002, the question of disability. Now, my problem with the approach for this question, when are we still going to train and develop that people to be skilled and to be, you know, to be on par with these white service providers? For how many years are we still going to do this? Because we raised this thing last year, and now it's 2007 already. Okay. So I'm saying it's very important that we should be vigorous and deliberate on the question of black. And I'm talking about young people who should be service providers, you know? And who are supposed to be doing this. Because I don't think that knowledge is only for white people. You have knowledge of these things. You see, so we must recognize, deliberately so, to say that we are going to deal with these young people and measure when are we going to target this number of them.
The second thing is the question of the macro loan default in relation to the interest on loan. Last week we were talking with Balon Chak about the, what is called, when you don't pay your money, they put it there, what is that? Credit bureau. You know, and you find that most of the young people did not access employment because of their mistakes. So this interest on loan does not really, you know, push some of these young people to the city. And they not become this dead at the end of the day, the cycle of the vicious cycle of people that are not going to be employed because of, you know, the money that they owe. And we wanted to take them out of the process, but we are feeling that threat, you know. So what is happening in relation to that? I think those are many of the questions. And then two last questions. Is the relationship between Umsobongo and a number of youth development agencies that are mushrooming in the country? One, CIA, Youth Development Agency in Free State. It was established by the Free State Youth Commission. The second one is the Northern Cape Youth Development Agency. The third one, you know, CIA, but which it did not, you know, came off the ground. What is the other? Because these are other structures that could be the face of Umsobongo. At the, you know, immediate level. Because we cannot give those people money to the Northern Cape Youth Development Agency, but they do not popularize in the book because they are doing the work of Umsobongo. The last one is the question of the National Service Unit. Whether the National Service Unit now is mechanic, you know, as it should be, and what is the relationship now between the National Youth Service program in the, you know, the confusion that was there in the Youth Commission in relation to what Umsobongo is doing. Is there any signal now in terms of the implementation of the program and the National Youth Service program? I mean, you have to. Thank you.
Yes, Rajban. Thank you. You know, one appreciates the youth owning the SMEs and my concern is that if they are producing a product, have we actually got a market for it? And is it, and how successful is it? And also whether there are products that could be exported from our country to increase the demand of whatever they are producing. Not every SME is a food or fish and chips or whatever you want, but there are things that one could produce and have a market for it, so there can be a progress in that field. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to you.
What we intend to do, I was just saying to some colleagues from National Treasury outside that, you know, last year Umsobongo won the annual report award in South Africa for the most transparent annual report, even though some of the members may not agree. But I think one of the things that we should add this year will be a full breakdown of all our projects, where there are faces of young people and so forth. Even if we do it as a something that we did as an appendix to the annual report. I think it's something that we'll do. We'll give you programs where it is, you know, and so on. So we'll do that. What is the program doing? What sector? How much was the program funded for? And so forth. So we will, as part of our annual report, and to keep the truth, you know, do that. But I think I was just corrected, Honorable Anthony, that my outside, that my, what you were saying was that we talk a lot about output, but sometimes we don't say enough about outcome. So I was just educated as well. So the issue of impact, where we can track after 2 or 3 years what has been the impact of the program since. There's a very interesting research report that we have published, which have been commissioned by and conducted by independent assessors to assess the impact of our programs. That's independent evaluation. And that information we will be able to share, I think, also as part of our annual report going forward. But those research documents are there. And to a large extent, they do inform what we do. So I think it's something that when we go forward, we'll show both the input measures, the output, and the outcome, so that we report properly. One of the questions I think that relates also to one of Mgongi's question was around the contestation of the terrain in the youth movement. I think with the Youth Commission, we have a pending signature of MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, that we are due to sign very soon. Basically, what we've agreed is that if you look at the National Youth Commission, as we all understand the cycle of program implementation, you know, it starts with first policy, followed by strategy, then you've got implementation, then you have monitoring and evaluation, that you also have research and knowledge management, then lobby and advocacy, and then, of course, policy, you know, and the whole cycle goes on and on again. So that's really the cycle of implementation. So in terms of the MOU, our job is on one area, which is on policy, on implementation. So Youth Commission must focus on what it's meant to do, which is on policy development. If you don't have a youth service policy, the Youth Commission must develop the youth service policy. If you don't have a youth entrepreneurship policy, the Youth Commission must be assisted to do that. Strategy, the youth strategy, and we know that there is, I think before the end of this month, I'm told, we'll have the first draft of the youth development strategy and so on. So we are not really involved. We will just be respondents and giving input. But when it comes to implementation, that's our baby. There should be no contestation. You see, often what causes contestation is if we now start to do policy and strategy work, and vice versa, the commission start to do implementation work. And monitoring and evaluation, we cannot monitor and evaluate ourselves. We can't be a referee and a player. So the Youth Commission must have capacity to do monitoring and evaluation so that they can confirm that the programs that we are running are in line with the policies and the strategies that they have developed, and they are achieving the necessary impact. We will monitor and evaluate the projects, you know, but not the overall impact of the National Youth Service Program. To what extent is making impact on many other indicators that we need, might have agreed to. Lobby and advocacy, that's a South African youth cancer. That is why they represent us as the youth sector in the network. The function of South African youth cancer is to lobby business, organize labor. Because, for instance, you could have a situation where you implement a youth service program for young people to build a road or to remove refuse. And, you know, you could have a situation where some South African municipal workers, you know, say, no, this is labor, you know, displacement, or, young people are, you know, should these are employed when we think they should be getting only a stipend. So we need to make sure that the organized laborers must understand the purpose and objective of the program. But that's where the council comes in. This council must organize civil youth structures so that they can advocate and argue for more resources to civil youth practice. For business, they must interface with business. For business to provide resources to youth development. They must also, because the commission and Nsobom are government structures, the youth productive youth council has provided with an independent outside government mechanism to actually give a voice to young people. Whether that which government is doing is being effective, that is by whether government departments, the Nsobom Fund, the Youth Commission, the Department of Sports, and so on and so on and so on. So that is, even when one looks at the policies and the founding legislation and documents that have been set up, that if we all kept to our very, obviously often there is a opposite, or there is sometimes a possibility that these things can be a little bit of overlap. But I think that this MOU that we are developing will help us in a great deal to go forward. Needless to say that we have been the largest funder of the South African Youth Council in the last 3 years, and continue to provide it with that necessary support for the strengthening of their support. So that, I think, currently I really, every relationship does have tensions, so it's endemic. But I must say that we enjoy a very good relationship with the Youth Commission and the South African Youth Council. But of course, I say, like marriage, from time to time, there is a match in the yes.
If it's a marriage, it means you can easily marriage.
Yeah. For convenience, yeah. So that really I think covered it. So Abram Mukombi, just to answer you, what we agreed last week in terms of the National Youth Commission is that there is now a national steering committee between the youth desk in the presidency, Youth Fund, and the National Youth Commission. So there is that relationship. At the provincial level, there will be the same relationship plus with the South African Youth Council. Also at the national level, we'll also work with the National Youth Council. So provincial youth councils, the fund, and others will then form a better relationship. In terms of the schools, we are currently not in Northwest, Western Cape, and Northern Cape, and this is what we say in April. We will be in those particular provinces. And also the 500 youth co-ops, the 500 youth will undergo entrepreneurship education. This is done mostly as a national venture creation membership, we work with FEP colleges in all the 9 provinces. I do agree that we will arrange for visits to the cooperatives in the third quarter of the year so that you can have the empirical evidence. But around branding, I think one of the things that we have not done in the past is that every contract, whether it be for a loan or a service provider, we must make provision in it that we are entitled to put up a ABC, you know. And we have not been doing that. So, but now that is the new provision going forward, so that that branding is put in place, and we contract to do that. So you are quite correct that there is no reason why we can't do it. And then in terms of the collateral, I think maybe one of the things that we should do, and I encourage all members as well, is that given that we've got all these provincial offices, that perhaps if you were to arrange a outreach, like on a Saturday or a Sunday or so, or a weekday, to have a youth workshop or dialogue in the constituency where you are at, and we can come and tell young people, because sometimes it seems impressions they have, they hear things, that we need to qualify, when in fact it's not true. So that's maybe one of what we can do, is to actually go there, explain to them, give them our information, and so we'll really be willing to come there, bring our, all the resources that we need to bring. The co-ops do benefit young women, honorable members, in terms of the funding. In fact, our target that we've set is that at least 50% of SMEs and at least 60% of microloans and co-ops must benefit young women. And so that is the target that was set. And I must say that currently we are on about 63% in terms of micro loans and calls. And we 43% on SME, so we're falling behind on that one. The comment that the Honorable Member around South Africa being a country of shopkeepers is an interesting one, because the recent, which, by the way, I must put a caveat that I don't necessarily agree with the findings of this research, but I think some of the findings are anecdotal rather than based on fact, which is the research that is done by University of Cape Town School of Innovation and Entrepreneurship. They published this Global Entrepreneurship Monitor Report. So just to put on record, we don't agree with all the findings. We think that some of the findings are based more on anecdotal rather than empirical evidence on the ground. And I think as a research organization, not necessarily, but even though we do a lot of research, we can say that. But needless to say, that if we were to assess that particular research, it says that one of the reasons why South Africa's total entrepreneurship activity is very low is because young people in South Africa have got a very low awareness and participation rate in entrepreneurship. So what it means is that if you were to compare South Africa compared to Uganda, for example, we rank behind Uganda, or some of the developing countries like Brazil, Bolivia, and so forth, India, and the like, that South Africa ranks below other developing countries. So that's why I'm saying it's very interesting. In fact, what research says is that we do agree, although we think the method of arriving at that decision, we think that it's flawed. We do agree that South African young people, as compared to their counterparts, so if we were to compare young people in Brazil versus young people in South Africa, we are less entrepreneurially active as compared to those other communities. So I think it's something that we need to do going forward. However, one of the biggest problems is that young people in South Africa, we need to intensify the whole issue of entrepreneurship education. So they don't all want to do the same thing. Like you say, you're running as far. So I hope when you go back, you don't run as far. You know, but we can be manufacturing, information technology, and so forth. So we can encourage young people who are employed to leave their work to become entrepreneurs, but in different fields. So that is one of the things that, hence, we are working with NAPCOP Youth and the South African Youth Chamber of Commerce. We have launched what we call the Entrepreneurship Capital Campaign 2010, which is aimed at supporting 100,000 youth-owned SMEs by 2010. So that is the campaign that we're trying to do to support my answer to go into that. One of the campaigns within that will be to profile what we call the Future 100. So you will see that the funds and these partners will profile most promising Future 100 business young entrepreneurs. So that's one of the things that we will be doing to encourage young people to go into entrepreneurship. You asked a question that I thought perhaps I can put one slide up there, Madam Chair, in terms of the whole issue of how do we measure the whole issue of around unemployment and the labor market. That, I mean, this is the total population. This is based on the October household survey and also the labor force study report that we've got 29 million, that is population of working age people. And of that we've got 13 million or so who are not economically active, 12 million who are employed, and of that we have 4 million who are young people who are unemployed. I think that's a bit of a mistake in terms of the age there. But if you go to the graph, the youth unemployment, you'll see that we have 50.3% as in March 06 of young people who are unemployed between the ages of 15 to 24 years. Most of them obviously before 18 to 24, but below that they're not supposed to work. and then 25 to 24 years, these are the rate of young people unemployed. And there is the rate of graduate unemployment. The majority of them are African youth. And when we go to some of course, in terms of race, black African youth constitute the majority of the unemployed. If you look at that, only 4.7% of white youth would be faced by the same situation. This also statistics in terms of young people, in terms of those who have completed matric. You see large number of black youth, the last graph there, that represents black African youth. They have not completed matric and so forth. So we do use these measures in terms of arriving at conclusion of the categories, that the categories are reducing in terms of youth. As you can see, it talks about youth with no schooling, with some secondary, some primary, who have completed primary, third grade, or higher. And it does a comparison between the things. When you look at employment rates, we find that the higher and the third 10th grade will be the majority of the unemployed. So it is based on this research, on the Liverpool survey and the October household. But one of the things that we'll be doing around cooperatives, I do agree with you that on Jebel, we are, one of our areas is at Tekwini Business Development Center, next to the taxi rank. We do have a office there that young people can visit and get access to the voucher program and so on. And we have a provincial office, but we'll also be setting up a very big, proper, very well-branded office in Jebel that will obviously take away, that is because currently the one CBGC is not branded in Sobong, it's branded CBGC. So that's something that we're trying to address. The co-ops, I agree with you that they are setting problems sometimes in terms of the whole cooperative movement is weak in South Africa, including even the National Cooperative Alliance, if it does exist, I know that they face serious challenges to the point of closure, last year. So they face extremely big challenges. They need a lot of support as an organized formation. But most of these co-ops that need this support are production and savings cooperatives. We've got about 45 savings cooperatives that have in fact funded more than 200 owned micro-enterprises. These are young people who form a savings co-op and they lend money between to promote access to entrepreneurship. They save their own capital from their own small businesses. They form a savings cooperative and they lend money to themselves, or they use that money to access more funding. And we also have production co-ops, bakeries, brick manufacturing, and a whole range of other cooperatives. But we are working with the DTI and in discussions with the ILO to create a very big youth cooperative program. We think we'll be signing an agreement shortly between ourselves, the DTI, and the ILO for a very big cooperative program. On the whiteness of NGOs, I think just to say that of our service providers who are on the voucher program, 75% of the 300 are actually black. So then we have quite a large number. Where we used to have a lot of white service providers, more on the training. And what we have done is that we have now resolved to fund equity colleges and even higher education who serve as service providers, because those are public institutions and it contributes to the strengthening of public institutions. But also what we are doing as well is that we have developed what we call the Center for Youth Development Practice that goes and supports even the small black, medium to large black owned service providers. So the situation from 2003 has changed significantly. In terms of the macro loans, the issue around interest rate on loans, obviously we call it a loan, so we charge a So we are an accredited micro lender for enterprises. I don't mention it. But we are regulated by the National Credit Regulation Act. So we are registered. So we have to lend within the Usury Act and all sorts of things. And we are probably the only organization that provides things such as capital and interest moratorium for 6 months, or sometimes even where we do interest moratorium for a year and capital moratorium for 6 months. Because we know that it's very difficult for them to repay back. You know, they need about 6 months or so under this moratorium. You know, when we do this sequence of credit bureau, it's if we believe they have been fraudulent. And we have encountered those incidents where people borrow money, they go and buy. One woman bought a Chrysler, the money was supposed to be used for something else. That's where on those instances we have no mission. Because I think that's fraudulent behavior. Because if you don't count it, it will now become cash. So there we show no mission. But where people will see they've really failed and they've really tried. You know, we do try to be accommodating. The relationship with these development agencies, as you say, we funded the establishment of the Northern Cape Youth Development Agency. Normally we fund the establishment of youth development agencies where we feel they are no service providers. But of course, I think what the point I'm making is that it could also encourage us and enable us to have black youth, you know, and own service providers. So we'll definitely entertain CIS proposal. Some of you are now in parliament and some work for the youth commission, so we have no counterparties. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope the this international project we will know more about it, and of course the meeting and agreement between yourself and the Department of Trade and Industry, we will get more information about it. I don't know if all before asking the last question, if all questions have been another question. Okay. Let me first take another question. That we must take one more, which is not answered here, I don't think.
Thanks, Madam Chair, for indulging. The question that the Honourable Member asked about youth, where they've got markets, do they have markets, how successful are they? One of the reasons why we established the Business Opportunity Support Service Board, one minister said they don't like the way because it reminds them of the Rio of Secret Service. So we decided to change it to something else more palatable instead of board. But the reason behind it was that we realized that the biggest problem young people cannot succeed as entrepreneurs is that they don't get access to procurement opportunities. And secondly, that where organizations don't use young people for distribution of their own products. So I'll give you an example of both. With Nestle, where young people are selling ice creams in communities, is really where young people become a distributor of products, water, ice cream, and so on. Some of them which are very, very successful. In some instances, we've had problems, you know, where some of these young people were masked and so forth. But be as it may, that problem is there, and about 600 odd young people are involved in that program where they are selling somebody else's product. When you go to one of the relationships that we have with Builders Warehouse, so the Matmat, one of the large district companies, when you go to the Builders Warehouse, you'll see there are young people there who are selling hot dogs, who are selling coffee, tea, and a whole range of things. And they've got good turnovers. I mean, they take home more than the living wage. Some of them make about 6,000-7,000 net profit, you know, after tax on a monthly basis, which is not small, little micro business. These are really, you know, people who earn more than teachers in some instances, you know. And there, Matmat said, we are going to give our space. And you use our space to create small business because there's a lot of traffic of young people there. With MTN, similarly, that's what we have done. Now, on terms of procurement, the discussions, and I think they are in discussion, is there will be a discussion with the insurance companies to say, how do we then train and or select young people who are running panel beaters? Because most of the panel beaters, to get work, you need to get work from their surfers who work for insurance companies who tend to take work to white in panel beaters. So they can accredit these panel beaters that are in the township that are run by young people so that they can get access to the procurement by purchasing of size of this organization. Part of what we've done, the Business Opportunity Support Service also has now got a website where young people are encouraged. You've got about 400 odd young people who have registered their businesses. So that businesses that want to procure from youth-owned SMEs can actually go, and cooperatives, of course, can actually purchase from them. But one of the things that we're doing with the DTI is we're signing an MOU in terms of which we're also looking at the DTI incentive schemes and as to how they can benefit young people in terms of exports and so on, and just increase awareness about such programs that are there amongst young entrepreneurs. So we hopefully that will promote access to, you know, export markets and the like, you know, for young entrepreneurs. You remind me of somebody who called me Anthony. Anthony. Three times. Anthony. Answer me. Chair, my question is around the website of Umsobo. Young people, Chair, the last time when I checked this website, it was yesterday, around 4 o'clock. To me, the website has not been updated for quite some time. I just want to check what are the programs. It looks exactly like September 2006. I just want to know what are the reasons for that. Because you know, Chair, young people, I'm telling you, young people from time to time, they visit this website, especially this new program of communication, where they have put this Molanyana internet cafe. These young people, they scroll their chair and, you know, if I'm sitting as member of parliament, looking at the things that were there in September last year, and again they are there, 2007 March, it's really surprising. I just want to check how are they doing it to feed the information. If you look into the program that they have been giving to us, if you look at the program that they have given to us today, there's quite a number of information. But if you go to their website, so
thank you. Thank you. Lord Jefferson, I have just a few questions. On the National Youth Service, our program, CEO, you spoke about the establishment of the steering committee. I just want to ask, is that not in conflict with the National Youth Service implementation strategy? Because it does not speak about the youth desk. Figure out the relationship between the Youth Commission and the organization, and then the board and the minister and so forth. I mean, I just want to inform myself about that. This is long that I'm part of the city. But the last one, which is very serious, is around the question of the National Skills Development Strategy. And I know that many young people have been raised with this thing that it does not talk directly to the National Skills. And it gives problems in terms of the funding. Because if you go to the funding of the National Youth Fund, it does not speak out on how to fund the National Youth Service program. And now it's giving problems for implementation. I think those are two questions. The last one that I'm interested in, you eloquently raised the operations and the policy positions of the establishment of these organizations, like also the Youth Fund, the National Commission, and the South African Youth Council. it's really a general understanding that you're giving us, that everything is nice and cool, that these organizations understand this role that they're supposed to be playing. And moreover, they're complementing each other. You see, because other than the national understanding of these things, it creates problems also in provinces, you know, on the working relationships of these structures, you know. Maybe you can be in a good, I mean, talking terms, know me, you know, and others, but what happens to provinces, you know, and locals, you know, in terms of the relationship of these structures, that will make service delivery to be very much smooth.
Yeah, your website will have been because you must be careful of members.
Yeah, I know.
Management.
Yeah. No, Honorable, I just checked the website is the South African, I can't remember what that, but what is happening there is that this is a linkage, a link with Mthombo Fund. So I will give the Honorable Member the www.quarter, that is the right address, that you will be able to find our updated website. We almost caught somebody to do the job, so. but we do try and update our website regularly. In fact, there is a person specific who does that on a daily, not weekly. So, but maybe one of the things we need to check is links. You know, how do we update links and how it works? So, but if you access us from that particular website. Government website, I would say, that it's got the request information. So we'll follow up on that. The issue around the National Steering Committee, implementation evolves. As you know, in the current budget, 125 million rand was set aside. To improve coordination by Department of Public Works or the Expanded Public Works program, because it's been a huge problem for them. Like, everybody does whatever they feel like doing, they're doing their own things, there's duplication of reports and numbers and so on and so on. So some of these things that we're setting up, though they might seem to be in conflict strategy, they are really informed more by contemporary experience as we implement that. Unless we put some of these things in place, you're going to have a situation where this coordination continues not to be seamless and very difficult to execute. So this has really been necessitated by experience rather than by policy or strategy per se. And as you know, some of these policy and strategy, we developed them with no experience. We had never done anything. Now as we are implementing things and we're experienced, that's why now we have to adapt to relate to that. So that's really what has informed it, to make sure that we have that particular. And I must say, the youth desk has played a very important role, because like now we have the Inter-Ministerial Committee on Youth Service, where we've got deputy ministers and ministers who come to say, to a meeting that is chaired by the deputy president, what are they doing about youth service? And that has enabled us, and that I think that is part of the intervention that the youth desk, sitting within the president, working closely with the deputy president, has enabled us to be able to achieve, which I don't think in the past we were able to. So that's really been a major benefit for us. And hence we also think that to the extent possible that at the provincial level, if we can replicate such capacities as well. The issue of the National Skills Development Strategy, not talking to youth service, in some areas where youth service is very closely linked to expanded public works, we don't have a major problem. Where it isn't, like within Limpopo, must be careful because on normal I say I come from Limpopo and I keep citing the examples, but in the Free State, for example, as part of the social cluster in EPWP, there we've got a very good relationship, and also working with the health and welfare sector. So what we're doing tomorrow, there's a whole day meeting of the provincial executive manager of the Department of Labor, who would know normally provincial programs would work, they would work with Office of the Premier and so on to launch such programs. So tomorrow we are giving a full day, outline of this program to the provincial executive managers, and we hope that will facilitate the connection between the skills development strategy and the national system.
Yeah, last, what is your overall budget for 2007? And,